And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and
welcome
John,
back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. We're actually going to get to some grilling. If you listen to the first segment, we were kind of rabbit-holing. So we'll come out.
It's all a conspiracy.
And we're going to talk a little bit about St. Paddy's Day. This is... last year, I spent it in Kentucky doing the Bourbon Trail. Went down there, but this year, that's not going to be the plan. I'm going to be in Dallas at the same brother-in-law, my nephew's wedding. But so I don't know what Dallas is going to do for St. Patrick's Day. Louisville did it up.
I bet.
But there's street
festivals. Just another reason to drink bourbon.
Well, there you are. There you are. But it doesn't appear that I'm going to be cooking for St. Paddy's Day either week. Or either year, last year or this year, because of my travels. But anyway, when you do, Bob, can you tell me what corning a brisket means? Why it becomes corned beef?
Funny you should ask. This is not a conspiracy.
Okay.
So it's amazing how many people fall in love with corned beef for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
It's the only time they ever buy it.
Right.
Unless they have a favorite deli, you know, like the Schnitz or something that they get great sandwiches from, or if they live in... you know, a city where there are a bunch of delis like Chicago, New York, Detroit. But this time of year, you'll notice the meat counters filling up with corned beef. And that is the flat of a brisket. And it's a good use for the flat because the flat's kind of a basic, I don't know, it's the part of the brisket that a lot of people screw up and that's why they think they can't make a brisket.
Right. Well, they screw it up by overcooking it.
Yeah.
But back to the question, what does corning mean?
So just like with venison, with like any kind of a meat, when you corn it, you're really pickling it to a certain extent without the vinegar.
Okay.
So, you know, this recipe we've used here for years is something from, I think, Better Homes and Garden or somewhere, but it's a good one. I tried it a couple times. I don't necessarily need the extra work. Now, I don't mind brining certain things, but like I love to do pork belly and make bacon. But for a corned beef brisket, I think you can buy them that are pretty darn good. And they're already done. You just basically throw it in a slow cooker or whatever you're going to cook it in and get it done. But basically what you've got is pickling spices, sugar, kosher salt, and pink curing salt, which is called Instacure.
You have to be really careful with that, don't you? Or is that not the nitrate that...
It's got nitrates in it, yeah, just like every piece of bacon you eat.
Right.
Unless it says uncured, which is boring.
Yeah.
Nitrates, nitrites, there's one way or the other. Instacure or another brand, basically the same substance.
You make a solution out of this and look for the recipe online if you don't have one already, right?
Yep.
And then you put it in this solution and you cure it
What you're going to do is you're going to boil some water and you're going to add these ingredients to the water and then boil it to get them all to activate. And then you're going to let the water cool down, put some ice in it, put it in the fridge, whatever. And then you're going to put your flat in that for 12 hours. Maybe 12 hours is probably good enough. The stuff you buy in the package has been in there for like weeks, so I don't know how long you can leave it in. I can say that doing it yourself, if you limit the amount of brine time you put in it, I think it turns out a better tasting corned beef.
Mm-hmm. The purpose
of
the brine.
It's St. Patrick's Day, so everybody's drinking.
Right.
Who cares?
The purpose of the brine is to tenderize the meat because a brisket is a big working muscle right in the chest of the animal. And so that's very, can be tough. But if you brine it, or when we're cooking beef briskets, we don't brine them. We take them fresh, but we cook them very slow. And that breaks down the toughness of the meat if you cook it slow to give it time to cook and cook thoroughly.
Well, in the brining process, you're dissolving the sugars, and the sugars actually also tenderize the meat. There are fruits with extra agents like kiwi and stuff like that that will tenderize as well, but I don't think the people in New Zealand do a lot of corned beef.
Right. So you go to the big box store, you're going to get a one that was processed in a factory somewhere. You go over to Sobeys, and you're going to get yourself a wonderful flat that is, you know, cut by the butcher, trimmed, ready to go. You're going to pay a little bit more, but there's no substitute for quality there. And then just brine it up for a few hours, and then
I'd say if you did that as you're suggesting, I'd say I'm probably going to lean towards 24 hours. I said 12 because that's a minimum, but this brine, we'll post this. This brine is so safe. You can go 12, 24, 48 hours on it, and you're not going to hurt anything. The thing that makes the big difference in is what are you adding for your botanicals? Are you putting mustard seed? Are you putting aromatics in there? Rosemary, thyme, anything like that? There's some wonderful things you can add to it. And I'd say mustard seed is a biggie that will your pickling spices will have some in it, but I find mustard seeds to be just fantastic in terms of profile.
They do. With beef, especially.
With anything, yeah. I find myself using them a ton. And I buy them because I like to make pickles in the fall. So I always have a ton of extra mustard seeds.
You growing it out back this year?
No.
No?
No.
Not going to do that?
No, I'm probably putting tobacco plants in.
Are you? Yeah, roll your own. Here we go.
Put them right by the grapevines.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to have a little mafia back there.
Yeah, exactly. But so corned beef, then a lot of people cook that in like a pressure cooker or something of that nature.
Instapots are the rage.
Yeah. I just prefer to put mine on a smoker, whether it's brined already from the store or if I do it. I just heat mine through in the smoker. You know, bring it up to about 205, 210.
Corned beef you do?
Yeah.
You smoke it?
Yeah. Yep.
Then you have pastrami.
Well, I have smoked corned beef. So if you call that pastrami, then yeah, that's what I have.
It's in that family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's just, I like a little smoke on it. It gives it another little profile. I use that hickory that I still, you know what? Yeah. You need to knock another tree down.
I just did.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a bunch.
I need some more discs.
I wish you were there to help me pick it all up.
Yeah, right. Well, I might come out with a chainsaw and make myself a box of it again because I'm about two-thirds gone.
Oh.
And, I need some more.
Got a whole bunch.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I've got some hickory logs in the mill right now, so I'm going to have some. That is one of the prettiest woods in the world, and I just love the boards.
Yeah,
I gave you some.
You did. Yeah. I made my outside bar top out of it.
And that's gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's super durable, super hard.
Oh, yeah.
And super durable. So it made a great outdoor kitchen where my grills are. People are like, you put a wood deck on or a wood top on your grill station? I'm like, absolutely. It's sealed. It looks wonderful. And it's all part of that natural barn look I got going out there with all that tin. But anyway.
Tin roof.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about next, Bob?
I think I want to just walk people through. I don't know if we did this last year, but I'd like to walk people through how to use our site and how to work with it.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about thegrillingguys.com. Stick with us. We'll be back.